Hello, sacred beings. Welcome to Sacred Sister Podcast. Join us as we normalize the magic and sacralize the mundane.
Expanding consciousness and deepening awareness to support you in leading a life full of healing, meaning, and magic.
I'm your host, Britt Lynn, energetic cartographer and personal transformation coach.
I'm your host, Tana Lina, a certified astrologer, rebirth coach, and sorceress.
If you're brand new here, welcome, beloved. We are so grateful, so happy to have you here. If you're a seasoned sacred being, welcome back. Thank you so much for your support, for your listenership, and we look forward to seeing you in the show.
Let's dive in.
Wow. Chris O'Brien, welcome to the podcast. We are so excited to have you here in this episode today. And before we even really get into this episode, I first want to say hello to each and every one of you beautiful sacred beings. Thank you so much for joining us here now in season six. We've just hopped on this call for a couple minutes and already we can tell that the next hour is going to be so filled with words that really, really matter at this day and age, at this time. And who we're sitting with today is Chris O'Brien. Chris is a serial entrepreneur. He's the founder of Come Out Better. He's a visionary and builder of the Wake Water Co. And what we've invited him on today to talk about and deepen dialogue on is really how much words matter and how much clarity and communication matters. And even more deeply, how much discernment in the clarity in communication matters. How much are we able to really question and understand what it is that is being spoken, not only within ourselves, but with others, and especially in terms of mainstream sources of media. This is something that I think about, and I feel like all of us are holding some space for, especially listeners of this podcast. And it's not something that I see spoken about a ton, which is why Chris stuck out in the most beautiful way. Whenever I came across his Instagram months ago, Chris is the partner of Jilly, who we actually featured last season on Sacred Sister Podcast in the Water Law Codes and Rights as a Sovereign Being episode. That was absolute fire. And we're just so excited to bring Chris to the podcast today and to just, oh my gosh, crack open this realm of communication on communication today. So welcome to Sacred Sister Podcast, Chris O'Brien.
Beautiful. Thank you guys for having me. You got me in a meditative state just listening to you speak too. So hello, everybody listening on the recording and the replay and all the things. And I'm excited to dive in and see what wants to come out and express itself through the most powerful muscle we have, not our biceps, not our abs, not the six pack. It's literally the voice. It's the voice that we all have within us that can literally create nations, move mountains, and also, you know, can bring other people down. So it's important what we do and what we use. And one of my favorite affirmations that I like to share with people that I repeat to myself at least 5 to 10 times a day. And the reason I repeat it out loud is so my subconscious can hear it and register it, just like we all are doing today, is I'm a multimillionaire and everything I touch turns to gold. I'm at the right place at the right time with the right people and the right opportunity. I have a photographic memory. Everything I read, remember, see, and hear, I remember with ease. I remind people that when in doubt to zoom out and when to zoom in and control what they can. Do your own research, connect your own dots, use discernment in all ways, and always learn in all ways. And at the same time, come out better. And you repeat that over and over to a point where it's engraved in you, and that's all you see, and that's all you be. And that's what we're going to go flow with here and see what comes up next.
Beautiful.
That's like a personal manifesto.
It's a personal one. You could definitely. It's in my background of my phone I had for a while. And it's something, everything, even when I'm walking in the grocery aisle, if I'm working out, if I'm catching myself hearing or speaking words in my head that are negative or reactive or responsive in a way that doesn't serve me, you go right to it and you pick yourself right back where you left off. It's kind of like writing a book and you don't stop half sentence. A lot of times we do that with our vocabulary. We stop mid-sentence or we stop on chapter two. And the rest of the world is ready to hear your next sentence. And you just keep writing that sentence instead of constantly erasing and deleting. And then we start going backwards. And we're meant to keep moving forward in this thing we call life that we get to experience. So yeah, it's a beautiful reminder, real simple thing. And the last thing too, that you could add to any manifestation, which I've learned is very beneficial, is saying your name afterwards. So I'm a multimillionaire and my name is Chris O'Brien. And that name after it, because I tell people right off the bat, is your name is the most powerful word that there is. And the reason why is because you've heard it more than any other word in the English language. We can be in the middle of thousands of people and I can yell your name and you'll hear it before anyone else does. So as long as you're affirming and manifesting the things you're looking to create with the words you speak and the thoughts you have, when you finish that affirmation with a simple comma and my name is blank, your body, your subconscious, your emotional body, your water body, all the bodies you have will actually register it better than just throwing it out there without you actually claiming it yourself. That's why your name is so powerful. And that's why, you know, it does literally create so many miraculous things when we declare the very things we're claiming. So comma, my name is blank. Watch your life completely shift. Give it a try. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I just love it so much. Everything you speak, I'm like, it's such a beautiful depiction of your Gemini archetype. You have mm-hmm. such strong Gemini in your chart, and we're all looking at your blueprint right here. And your sun is in Gemini conjunct Mercury, and you have a stellium in Gemini with Jupiter and Venus being also in Gemini. And it's just the most beautiful way. In your fifth house here in the portal of creation, mm-hmm. really the way that you create with words. And we all have that power within us. And it is one of your powers here in this lifetime you've incarnated. And we talked about it before. It seems very intentionally incarnated at this moment in time.
Yeah.
At the place that you were born in Fountain Valley, you know, really feeling into the water and also realizing this is the deepest gift of your code to remind us how powerful our words are and how they create our reality. Mm. So thank you. Thank you so much for fully embodying that archetype for us and fully reminding us of how important it is to be aware of the words that we speak.
Absolutely.
And that we listen to.
Yes. Yes.
And the songs we listen to and the news we listen to and the channels were literally the channeling, the programming, like the TV programs. It's programming into our subconscious, just as you were just sharing with us this affirmation that literally reprograms your subconscious. We're also being bombarded with these messages from society that are also trying to program our subconscious in a way that is not empowering, but rather based on fear and scarcity.
Yes.
So can you share with us a little bit about what we can do, especially in this day and age of information overload?
Yeah.
How can we be discerning and really make sure that we're not being programmed in a way that is not for our highest good?
Absolutely. Well, I love all the readings of the Gemini, because I just got this little visual that, you know, there are different sides of us. I don't know if you guys have seen the reel where it has like your left and your right side of your face are different. And when you put it together, you're two different people. Mm-hmm. We all have this trait. So we all have this ability. And for me, those two sides of things, plain and simple, is what is and what isn't. That's all that there is. What is and what isn't. So what is what God works through. What is what we declare, what we affirm, what we visualize, what we embody, what we feel. What isn't is where man, quote unquote, fell and started using babble, started using language to actually dig us in deeper holes, to start manipulating, controlling, programming, persuading, deceiving, lying, and all those things, right? We're so prone to say, I can't, I won't, I shouldn't. And I tell people one apostrophe in one letter changed someone's whole life. One apostrophe, I can or I can't, either way, you are right. I can or I can't, either way, you're right. So if you have the apostrophe T, just think two little symbols, right? Because before words, we use symbols, we use images. And then all of a sudden language, linguistics started to take an approach. So what happened was those that were focused on what isn't, which is the illusion, the matrix, right? It's not out there, it's in here, most so in the left brain, which is drowned in thought and programming of the external rather than the internal. What has happened is they've taken this knowing, right? The people in places that control media, that control medication, that control what we see on TV. And like you mentioned, what not only what we see, what we hear, what we read, what we surround ourselves with, and the energy that we're involved in, because our body digests information. We, just like we eat food, a lot of us right now are eating at buffets daily. Not food-wise, we're eating at a buffet of information. Mm-hmm. And not many of us would be buffet hopping in real life with food. Yet we do it with words, we do it with information, we do it with negativity, we do it with scarcity, we do it with what isn't, we do it with lack, because 98% of people, if you were to look up these statistics, show that we are more prone to negativity than positivity. You can declare world peace today and you're going to have millions of people thinking it's a scam. You can declare the oceans are free of plastic and you're going to have millions of people that still think that it's full of issues and that we're not making any progress. So when it comes to what you're mentioning with discernment and what you can do, it's one of the greatest skills you can actually create. And another fascinating thing I actually learned about, I think a few weeks ago, was the average person today globally is being exposed to more information in one day than previous 100 years. And yes, I believe we're in the age of Aquarius, which is the age of information. And just like anything else, when you're coding a computer, when you're writing software, right? We have this brain, which is a quantum computer. Every bit of technology from Wi-Fi to Bluetooth to laptops to cell phones to the internet is a direct expression of literally the gifts that God instilled within us. And so for a lot of us, we don't know we have these gifts. We don't know we have this larynx, this voice box, this ability to take air from our lungs, bring the air up to a factory, right? A voice box, a throat area, which again is a water sign, which is very powerful. Very, very big fan of that, because water can be what? Plasma, gas, liquid, or solid. So there's different expressions of your voice that can come out. And that's why people can fall in love with opera singers. That's why people can get hyped up with certain rhymes and hip hop and all these things. And certain people can be healed with vibration and sound. And certain people can be empowered by motivational speakers. And certain countries can fall under the rule or be guided by leaders and people that we put on pedestals and so forth. And so when we realize all of this is happening, you can get lost in it. You can very easily get lost in it. And so our ability to use something what's called discernment is a term that I had never learned. I had never knew about my whole life. And looking back on my life, how much of my life was actually predicated and created on situations that actually weren't mine. They weren't my thoughts. They weren't my emotions. They weren't my words. They weren't my beliefs. And yet I took them on as mine because I did not know what was right and what was wrong, what was truth and what was false, right? What is and what isn't. And so as you learn this little skill of discernment, a couple of things that I tell people and remind people is, first, ask yourself, as you're listening to something, whether it's this podcast, whether it's to an Instagram reel, whether it's to a concert or a movie or anything you surround yourself with. And if you notice your body changing or something in your mind starting to figure something out, or you're getting anxious or your toe starts tapping or you start holding your breath, your body is trying to give you a signal that this information may be going against your current divine blueprint. And in that moment, one little tip that I learned from an amazing a book called Conscious Language, which is so powerful, changed my life forever. Anytime you use a word or hear something that does not serve you or does not give you that response in the body, you have the power to change that. And a simple saying is cancel clear. Cancel clear. I choose to upgrade to this. And for those that do computer programming, software development, not me, I don't do it. I'm sure not many of us do that. I do know how it works though. When you type out a website and you're writing the coding of a website and you miss one comma, you miss one word, you change one letter, that website may not work. That Instagram link may not go through. That pop, it may crash. And that's how small it takes. So we're so close. So many of us are so close from changing our life that doesn't take extensive weeks of doing this, extensive months of feeling that. You're a moment away from changing a letter, a sound, a vowel, an apostrophe, or a comma to a whole new reality. Because your brain, whether you're aware of it or not, your brain will actually figure out and find in your reality what is aligned with your core beliefs. And many of our core beliefs aren't ours. So practicing this muscle of discernment, seeing what resonates, taking what resonates for you in this moment, maybe other things don't at this moment, maybe later, take what resonates and leave the rest for now. Just let it be. Because also you're going to keep going to the buffet and you're going to keep trying to eat more and eat more and eat more and read more and do more and more and more. And that's why so many people today are getting anxious, where they're crashing, they're getting burnt out, they're lacking motivation because they've basically eaten at five different buffets in one day and it's hard to get out of bed. And it all comes down to those words. And those are some just basic awarenesses, because every person can have their own way of depicting what in their reality is actually empowering them, what in their reality is actually guiding them. And if most of the time, a lot of us, we go through life very unaware of these things, very unconscious of it as well. So your subconscious mind is always listening, and the act of discernment of not only the words you speak, but also the words and the voices and the sounds you hear will really show you where you're at in life, why you're at where you're at, how you're moving through life, and where you're actually headed as well. And so those are just some things right off the bat, just to kind of get things going, is that awareness in itself before we dive a little bit further. So yeah, those are just some basic little tips I would start with, definitely.
Mm. Oh my gosh. You know, what I love that you just really clearly verbalized is what the visual that I go to a lot of times is like our crystalline core, like the purity of who it is that we are, and understanding that consciousness and the consciousness that we hold is a hygiene practice. Sure. And a lot of times we're not trained. We're not aware. We're not surrounded by anyone who knows this either. So we don't understand that it doesn't have to be so personal. That's what you touched on that I love so much. When you're able to understand the way that consciousness works and the way that our belief systems like are woven into the fabric of our being, it becomes so much easier to just witness the self. In the yogic world, we call this the witnessing observer, being able to be the being that is witnessing the thoughts that you are having. Yes. And from that space, just it brings so much more compassion to the space organically. Yeah. And it separates us from the taking everything so personally. Yes. Just being able to witness who we are as an energetic cartographer, that's my realm of work. So really helping people map their energy and discern where it is that their beliefs and thoughts and programs came from, and then choosing that next empowered space. It's like, in my mind, I can get in a quandary sometimes, because in my mind, it's like, but it's so simple. How are we not surrounded by just like the entire world being like, oh yeah, I can choose to co-create my own reality. Cool. Let's freaking do it. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing to witness how much the collective narrative is shifting around this.
Yeah.
And the bridging between science and spirituality is really coming to a forefront, where people are like, oh yeah, okay, mindfulness, I get it a little more now, and they're able to experience it and feel into it deeper without having to necessarily like intake the, maybe the systems, self-knowledge systems, the chakra system, astrology, whatever, that don't resonate to their level of consciousness at that time.
Right. Exactly. Well, they're just attuning themselves to a frequency that they can hear. So if you spoke English your whole life and you go to Mandarin, if you're in Chinese or whatever, Mandarin's maybe a system that you just said that you got down pat. If you're only speaking English your whole life, you wouldn't even know where to start. What is that symbol? Like, what are those colors? Like, I'm just going to go back to what's comfortable, to what I know best. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean, I did a post today actually of all about perception and perspective. Just because you see, you know, a six doesn't mean someone else sees a nine and vice versa. Just because you see the water half full and someone sees it half empty doesn't mean the glass is any different. We just perceive things differently. And that's what makes us all so unique and also so connected as well. And I tell people a lot of times with social media, even in the world with the things that are brought up in society, ask yourself, am I arguing? Am I looking to argue more, or am I looking to find an agreement more? And that's going to shift from an argument to an agreement. Because an argument, you're going to use more exclamation marks, which is more straight line and rigid, right? Exclamation mark. You make a couple of those, you have squares. Nature doesn't have squares. Nature has curves. So how do you go from an argument? You're wrong. Exclamation mark. What makes you say that? Question mark. What's the question mark? It's a curve. Go in nature, you're going to see more curves. So the exclamation mark and the question mark are two powerful symbols. And most of society right now is trying to get louder exclamation marks. I go to the question mark because the question brings an answer. An exclamation mark makes the statement. And usually our statements end there. Question marks start there. And that's what I like to see with cities and matrix types things. Look at bus stop. Look, just pay attention next time you guys are in your life. Look how many squares and straight lines you're surrounded by. Mm-hmm. That's keeping you in the left hemisphere of the brain, which is going to be more word dominant. You're going to lose that actual feeling of the body, the emotions, the response, your body that talks to you. When you shift to the right brain, so to speak, you're going to now see in nature. Like, I can look right outside at all the plants. There's not one straight line. It's hard to find a straight line. Try to find a square in nature. You probably won't find one. And we've put ourselves in a mental box. What do we say? Think outside the box. So you start using linguistics and shapes to start dancing in between the 6 inches of your ears. And you said it perfectly. Those that are not aware of this ability to dance or this system doesn't mean anything is wrong or right. It's just where you are at in your life. And it's important to honor that. It's important to honor that because comparison is another big thing that really steals a lot of our joy. And if you compare to the Sacred Sister podcast to your podcast, there may be joy that is taken from that because, oh, I don't have as many viewers or I don't have as many of this. And yet someone else who hasn't even started a podcast may be looking at you and say, wow, she's got it down. And you're looking, wow, I don't have it right. And that's where the dance happens. And that's where that awareness really starts to birth. And you hit it right on the nose with the systems and all that. It's meeting yourself where you're at. And like my partner, Jilly, said, as maybe she said on the podcast, do the best you can with what you have with where you're at. And that's a great reminder over and over to a point where your subconscious just starts doing it. And that's going to help you stay even more present than ever, which is very powerful. The present moment, as you guys know, that's the gift. That's the ability of staying neutral in between the exclamation mark, the question mark, what is within, what is without, in that core, that crystalline core. Yeah. Mm.
Gosh, I love that so much. I love this whole conversation so much. With the exclamation mark and the question mark, see, I never realized that. So thank you so much for sharing this with me. Because the exclamation mark, you know, masculine energy is that straight line, that one, that where you say the more left brain dominated. And the feminine is the zero, the curse, the wave. Oh my gosh, right. It makes so much sense. Masculine separates and feminine unites. And both of them are important at times. Yes. We do have to speak up into our masculine, especially when we find ourselves in a point where we are trying to get manipulated into something that is not for our highest good. We need the masculine to separate from that. And I love how you were saying clear. What was it? Clear cut?
Cancel clear.
Cancel clear. I love that. That's with an exclamation mark right there.
That's it.
And then other times where we're like, let's unite, let's come together, that's when the question mark really helps to dive deeper, to come into a place where we are actually curious. And that's that Gemini archetype that I so love, is we're actually asking those questions and prompting in regards to what is your truth. And I see it in your blueprint too. And you see it too, Britt, how this beautiful in conjunct here is between the Sun, Mercury towards your moon, right on the cusp between Sagittarius and Capricorn. And Sagittarius is the truth seeker and Capricorn is the builder.
Wow.
So really being aware of what you see as your truth is building your reality.
Yes.
And so I want to ask you this. You were saying before, it is all about what is and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at the current society,
mm-hmm.
yeah, the current state that we're in as humans, there are different perspectives of how to look at it, mm-hmm. first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you get your news
mm-hmm.
of what is going on? This is one point. Because as we know, there are many news channels and ultimately they are owned by very few people
mm-hmm.
that are very much aware of what they are wanting to program into us. So how can we be discerning on that? Where are we getting our news? And second, when we are getting these news that can be very traumatic, bad mm-hmm. news at times, how can we be aware to not dive into the rabbit hole of they are seeking control, they are going to do this, this is going to happen in the
we're
future.
We're doomed.
Because because as we know, words are creating our reality. So by speaking about that, what is going on, we can actually bring that more into reality. We're actually giving more power into it.
Yes.
So how can we be aware to first, yes, have the awareness of what is going on, but then what we speak as truth is actually what we do want to create.
Absolutely. Great question. So, so good. Very important. I wish the whole world would hear this. Then they will. And I cancel clear. They will hear this. it's a habit. I'm telling you, I'll probably do it 5 more times. I catch myself. I say, but cancel clear. And it's like you catch yourself. And next thing you know, like negativity doesn't come to me anymore. Like the stuff I used to post about truth, I get a lot of things, a lot of disagreements. It literally doesn't happen anymore because of that cancel clear, that ability to refresh and reframe. So yes, great question. The first part about getting information from news, because there's so much. And I say that, as we know, from TV, mainstream media, even alternate media, you know, different social media platforms now that are coming out. At the end of the day, here's what I tell people. Right now, you guys are in your office, right? I'm in my office. Technically, that's all that matters. That's all that exists, right? Anything that you see on the news, what's happening internationally, the supply chain with pharmaceutical, whatever portal wormhole you want to dive into, not many of those people actually will experience that reality ever in their life. And yet their mind will live there.
Mm-hmm.
So what you were saying after that is being able to discern which of that, you know, because there's a lot of people on mainstream, right, in politics, government, truth movements that you will never meet. I'll never meet them. Just like I never met, you know, Jim Carrey when I used to watch his movies. Just like I would have never met these actors or these athletes. So technically, they're just characters in a movie. And yet we get lost in that movie and we forget our actual reality. Because I'll say, zoom back in, look around you. That's your reality. That's your actual space of awareness is your present moment. And usually it's very simple in our life and we have such a great life and things are going great. And as soon as we open up a news channel or read a blog, our mind goes there. And we tend to make it a habit of bringing that scary, that fear there into our reality. And then we start seeing what isn't in our reality. Then we start manifesting in our mind. I say the eyes look, the mind sees, and the heart leads. A lot of us think we see with our eyes. We look with our eyes. Our mind sees it. So if your mind goes to places, like you said, that are scary, it's going to bring that scary and bring it here. And your eyes are going to look for it in your reality. You're going to look for the worst case scenario in everything. There's going to be an opportunity and you'll try to find what doesn't work. And that's the habits we start creating. And that's the discernment we got to use. So for me, I really chose to get away from those things that led me to a path and then left me hanging. So I've unfollowed pages that are just fear, that are worse, that are what's wrong in the world, that are what's, because I used to share that a lot. And I was misleading people because I wasn't giving them solutions. As soon as I made the shift, my brand come out better birthed. So we go down these portals, these awareness, knowing just like you scale a mountain or like you go down a ravine, knowing that there's a hook back out of it, knowing that there's that dip, there's that rise, that crash, there's that burn. A lot of people will crash or they'll dive in and then they'll stay there. And then their life starts manifesting as I got a bill, I got a flat tire, I got sick. And we're stuck in this hole that we put ourselves in mentally, not physically. Physically, we're living in an amazing place. There's bees and birds outside. There's animals, there's family. Yet mentally, we're in this place. So how can we come out of that place better? How can we get out of that place a little bit better, a little bit easier? And as long as we give people those solutions to come out of it, it's okay to go down those journeys. It's okay to have that awareness because not everyone wants to see the things that are happening. Now, I don't blame them. I would rather prefer sunshine and rainbows. And at the same time, this whole awakening that is happening, this is the process that we're actually going through. So to get away from the fear and the doom, I like to make sure people are aware of, okay, that's what isn't. This is where the what is, right? That's what isn't. So if you can imagine what isn't, because remember, you're in your room and you're learning about all the scary stuff in the world. If you can do that mentally, you can do that mentally of what is. So what is actually happening that's good? And you'd be surprised, people struggle to see that. We struggle to see what is good. We struggle to see what is going right. We struggle to see what optimism is. We struggle to see the positive side of it. We only see the tails instead of the heads. And we wonder why we keep losing. We keep losing. We keep losing. And you said it really well, Hannah, of the whole repeating it. So another, I love analogies because that paints a picture. So if I can paint a picture with my words, most people learn better with images. We all know what the Grand Canyon is, right? Grand Canyon. If you were to go and learn how that Grand Canyon was made, it would take a long time, a lot of water, a lot of sediment to dig that canyon deep. That's the same thing that society does to our brain. We embed things so deep that we're now in the middle of the Grand Canyon and we have no way out. We have no way out because we constantly keep embedding. I can't, I don't know. Worst case, we're done for, we're doomed, scary. We embed it. And the moment we can stop embedding it, and here's what happens, we try to figure out why did that happen? Why did I embed this? Why is the world so bad? And you dig deeper. You make the Grand Canyon deeper. My biggest switch that I help people with their language, instead of why did that? Why does that? Why is that? Why me? Upgrade it. How can I? How can we? What can we do? Where can we go? And then you'll start actually getting out of that crater. You'll start making your way out and you can start creating your own canyon. And that canyon has positive thoughts. That has best case scenarios. That has, you know, humanitarian projects which are happening that are cleaning the oceans right now. People don't know that. There's technology that are cleaning oceans. We just see news that says more plastic. So there's so much good happening, and that ability to be able to literally make a little shift in your mindset with the words you use, the visuals you have, the cues you remind yourself with, you now start embedding a different process. So guess what? You'll know exactly what news is fake. You'll know exactly what channels to follow. You'll know exactly what people to align yourself with because you're now out of the way and you're letting a higher power in you, the unconscious mind, which regulates your heartbeat, your circadian rhythms, your lungs, your cellular respiration, your cells that die and grow. You're not controlling that consciously. The unconscious is. And if we can get out of that way and trust that divine, whatever you want to call it, to direct us that way, we're now coming out of that dark place better. Because I know a lot of people who've got lost there and refuse to talk about these things because they don't know how to talk about the good side. Chris, how can you be so optimistic? Look at the world. And I'm like, well, look at that world. And they're like, it's just, that's it. It's like, there is another world. There's many worlds that are actually living. You know, there's so many people in your life you may never meet in person, only in digital, only in the quantum, only in this space we call technology. And that's what's so beautiful about it. So being able to get someone to look from the left to the right, just that little shift, whether it's through words, thoughts, or processes, every single day that you create habits will truly help people come out of that better. Because the people that do come out of that fear, doom and gloom, scary stuff better, they're going to be ones that are going to help others do the same. Not doing it for them, giving them the blueprint to do exactly what they did in a way that fits and serves them best. So to visualize that, instead of constantly embedding yourself, your brain's going to find what you embed yourself in. How can I, instead of why am I? Why am I like this? Why does this happen to me? Your whole life, you're going to search for it. How did we even get to this podcast? Or why am I on this podcast? Well, maybe she emailed me. No, she texted me. And you'll get lost in it. You'll get so lost in it, you'll forget about the bird right next to you on the bench. And if you can go, how can I? Now you are, how can I, is one of the most powerful questions you can actually ask and say. And we've lost that ability to ask those questions. That's why I talk about being a question master, because we've lost that ability ever since we were in grad school or grade school. We stopped raising our hand. So if we can't raise our hand and nobody picked on us, mm-hmm. Of course, we're not going to question reality. We're not going to question, hey, how can we, or where can we, or what can I, instead of why am I?
Student who would always raise her hands and ask questions, and everybody would be like,
right?
Me too. Yeah.
Nobody, and then look at the world today. They don't want you asking questions. They keep, shh. Don't ask questions, because questions bring answers. And when you get answers, you actually come out of places better. A lot of us want to live long. We want to have no problems. We want to live a life of compassion, love, and gratitude, all the things. We all want that innately. That's in our DNA, right? That's in our DNA. We try to force that to happen. We try to figure it out. We try to manipulate. We try to persuade. We try to mislead. We try to work so hard. All we do is ask a question. Mm-hmm. And the root word of prayer is to ask a question. So when you pray, the next time you pray, ask a question and watch what happens. You'll get your answer. You'll get your answer in ways that are hard to describe. And when you start getting those answers, you're going to keep asking more questions, because that's what quantum physics is too. Dr. Wheeler, the father of quantum physics, he says reality is predicated off the questions we ask it. So one day a freeway was built, right? Someone said, how can we get from here to here faster? That was the question. And the idea of the freeway was birthed. Mm-hmm. A lot of people go into meetings, schoolrooms, boardrooms, politicians, Congress, who knows where, right? Nobody asks questions. They all just want to be heard, because the left brain loves to hear itself talk. The left brain loves to hear the chatter. They love to get their voice out there and be heard. And I tell people, you can either fit in the herd or use your voice to be heard in an empowering way. Two words that are very sound the same, yet are spelled differently. Just like silent and listen, anagrams. Silent and listen. Most people can't listen because, well, they don't know how to be silent. So when you listen more than speak, you actually will get more answers. To listen more requires silence. Sometimes that's hard for us. So people have asked me too, what are your thoughts on meditation? Do you meditate? And I say, yes and no. I'm like, what do you mean yes and no? Well, yes, I meditate when I do podcasts. I meditate when I'm working out. I meditate when I'm going for a walk. Sometimes I'll sit down and close my eyes, cross-legged, and meditate. And if you do that, great. If that works for you, do it. Share that. Talk about it. For me, it's speaking is my meditation. And my second part, the reason I say no is a lot of times we meditate to quiet the voice in our head, right? To observe our thoughts. Perhaps the reason why we do that is because the words and the thoughts we have are, what is it? So of course you would want that to stop. For me personally, my voice, my thoughts, my emotions are what is. So why would I want to stop that? I want to keep adding to that and create building with that. So no, I don't meditate to quiet my voice, because I've trained my voice externally and internally. The 10 to 20,000 words I speak a day, you could look that up, 10 to 20,000 a day. Those words are powering, confident, convicting, loving, guiding, nurturing, reminding, respecting, remembering, and improving. And I can go a list of a whole list. So why would I want to stop that? I want to keep that going. And yes, there's times where I go in the no mind and that's where I'm working out, or that's where I'm just laying out in the ground, or I'm hanging out with my partner, or I'm at a reunion or an event. So it's like a mixed response, and it really makes people go, wow, I never looked at it that way. Mm. So it's a yes and no for me. And it's both are right. Both are right. And depending on your perspective, that may resonate. And if not, great. What resonates with you? I'll ask a question. Questions for confirmation, questions for clarity, questions for appreciation, a question for guidance. Because especially for men, we don't like saying we don't know what to do. We don't like asking for help. We don't like asking those questions, right? So that's there's a little flow, but it's and cancel clear. And it's catch myself. It's a great habit. Good job. I pat myself on the back too. I'm my biggest coach, fan, and mentor, as nobody's going to do for you. So that's my flow on that, is how to come out of that better and just make that little shift. And it's so powerful. And then you make that a habit, just like a habit of riding your bike, brushing your teeth, making your bed, saying hello, saying thank you. Imagine making those habits just as powerful and embedded in your own Grand Canyon, in your mind.
So powerful. Wow. It's been such a clear depiction of witnessing the channel opening mm-hmm. within you. Anyone listening to this right now who might have some questions or critical thinkings that err on the side of cynicism about the channel and opening the channel and receiving and allowing that flow state to truly open within you. Mm-hmm. I love what you said about the communication piece being meditation, because I have to say, here we are on the podcast. We just discovered Chris's birthday is the day after mine of the same year, which means that we have a lot of the same astrological aspects in our natal chart. And that is the most beautiful place mm-hmm. to be in flow with words and to not even necessarily know where it is that you're going. But I don't know if this is true for you, but for me, it feels sure. like an energy in it. I'm being magnetized towards somewhere. Like I know where it is that I want to get to, yes. In terms of the context of the conversation that I'm trying to relay. And then I truly feel my energy being like pulled in a way that I have no clue what's coming out of my mouth, mm-hmm. but I do, but I also don't know exactly how it's going to come out. But this has been such a clear, beautiful depiction. And I even want to drop back to the beginning of the episode, because before we even started recording, I mentioned this to you. And this piece right here, the dimensionality that we've been able to witness, Chris, in the flow of communication, and you can hear, and for those of you that maybe haven't picked up on this, I want to relay it with words, mm-hmm. truly feeling into the dimensionality. Like we can feel how much Chris thinks and how much dimension is going on in his mind and questions and curiosity and that thirst. That's what really brought you to this place, it seems, is that thirst to know more, to be more, to express yourself as more. And for me, really, this is some of the magic that we're here to relay, is the thirst, is activating that thirst and wanting something new for yourself and knowing, allowing yourself to feel into the possibility, even if you don't believe yet that something new could be possible for you. Really allowing yourself just to get curious and to release the vice-like grip that the ego has on what life is and what life isn't and who should be listened to and who shouldn't be and what you're deserving of and what you're not. It's like even those, witnessing those pieces can be the very things that activate an entirely new reality for you 5 years from now, 10 years from now, beautiful. Just being able to witness for even the very first time.
Yes. And then another little word switch you're going to love. Take the word new, take the letter E, take it out, put the letter O. There's nothing new about the now. Mm-hmm. So instead of always something new, because the word new, you can also add a K to it, and it's something you wish you knew. Mm-hmm. And if something you wish you knew, you resent that. And that creates an emotional response that becomes you. So if you take the word new, change the letter E for O, you have now. And again, us humans are scared of doing something new because we wish we knew sooner. In And every time you start something new, you may not be good at it when you start it. So we have resistance to starting something new. When you take the letter E and you put the O, you have the word now. You're every time reminding yourself, what am I doing now? What am I doing here? What is my next option? So when people say Happy New Year, I say, yeah, Happy Now Year. They're like, what? I say, Happy New Year, Happy Now Year. Hey, congratulations on your now business. Like, what? Yeah, you just started a business right now, right? Like, and you glitch them. And it's one letter. It's one letter. So be aware every time you say new, if new is scary to you, for those listening, switch it to now. And it may get very exciting for you. Because you won't leave the past and go resent. You won't go far ahead and say, I don't know how to do it yet, because it's new. I'm going to do it now. That one letter, one word switched changed my life. Because a lot of new things were scary for me. What is this? What's astrology? That's new. Spirituality? That's new. Plant medicine? That's new. And as I started changing to that's now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm curious about right now. I mean, I wish I knew about plant medicine years ago. I wish I knew about living water. I wish I knew about all this stuff. So I'm programming the word new, even though it's spelled differently, to be scary, to be resentful. So you can take one word and can have 50 emotions tied to it, or swap a letter or a word and have new emotions be birthed from it. And that's the beautiful part of our creation. And exactly what you said when you're speaking, Brittany, with the channel, my perspective of it, what I see is a flow of plasma. I'm sure Jilly talked about it. Electrons. Electrons are the smallest subparticles that make up me and you. We're full of all, we are electrons. You have Chris, Hannah, Brittany, right? Then you have our systems, nervous system, circulatory, respiratory, lymphatic, reproductive, muscular, skeletal, right? Digestive systems. Then you have organs of those systems. And then of the organs, you have the cells of the system. And then of the cells, you have what? The molecules of the systems. And then of the molecules, you have the atoms of the system. And of the atoms, you have the protons, neutrons, electrons. The neutral space, the no mind, the protons, the positive space, which is the left brain, and the electron, the feminine space, which is the birthing, the creation. So when we speak, we're actually organizing in quantum real time all of the electrons in us, the channel, the flow, energy, chi, prana, whatever you want to call it, and you're flowing and you're bringing that energy to your throat. That's why there's a throat blockage. There's a dam that blocks the flow of electrons, and that all gets expressed into the world, and our brains compute it with ones and zeros, just like a computer. So the electrons go in and they start either empowering you or disempowering you, building your energy or taking your energy. So we see the metaphysical aspect of the channeling, of the expression, right? The voice. And then I see the quantum aspect, the scientific aspect of the electrons, the building blocks of everything. Everything is electronic. Everything has those electrons. And so when you were talking that, I literally just saw, like, you know, we see it in animations, right? All of the cartoons, like the flow, like the little stars, that's really what is coming out. And that's what's moving people. And that's what's building your aura. And that's what can light. That's my saying, and come out better, light them up. That's exactly it. You're lighting the world up with your voice. That's how you light them up. You light them up with your electrons, with your touch, your aura, your voice, your glow, your emotions, and all those things. And it's just another way to perceive it. And it's a very powerful one. So for those watching, try switching new for now and watch what happens. You'll be very excited to start something new, because it doesn't matter if you knew it already. It's now. It's all about now.
So beautiful. And you just touched a little bit about your personal story and mm-hmm. your soul path and how the new was scary for you, and the transformation of it, and really bringing all of this beautiful bridge that you're creating between science and spirituality, which is like in your north node, your soul path, right on 29 degree Aquarius, right between Aquarius and Pisces, like Aquarius being science and Pisces being the spiritual realm and the subconscious. Wow. And the dreams and the angels, you know, all the beautiful depictions, the symbolism, and then Aquarius being the more, yeah, this is science. So we can combine wow. both of those and speak them into the world. And for you, it's in the second house with like bringing them down into the mundane world and making mm-hmm. that your regular way of living. Mm. So tell us a little bit about how that soul path was for you. What shifted it? What was the moment where you said, I had enough of this old way of living and I'm ready to live now?
Yeah, I love it. Well, it all happened. A story I tell, and I'm glad you asked. It happened in, first it started happening when I woke up to the power of water, which I know Jilly talked about a lot with the water I was drinking, because we're all water. So our emotions are stored in our water. That's a whole nother podcast in itself. It started with that. And then as my body had all these layers, just layers and layers, like an onion, right? You peel in a layer of an onion, you start crying. So I started peeling layers off myself back in like 2016, 2017, after I was very sick. I was very sick as a 26, 25 year old after being an athlete, professional athlete, the whole thing. When I started healing my body, I felt myself, you know, like people talk about what's missing, right? I don't feel whole. Like I felt all the pieces that were just floating around me, just coming back to me. Once that happened, it was December 2017. I had an out of body experience. Remember, you're talking to a guy who's never had that before. I was in the party. Like I was not who you were talking to today. So I woke up on a Saturday and I woke up and I couldn't move my body. And there I was up on the ceiling looking down at myself, thinking I'm looking at a mirror. I'm like, okay, you awake, dude? It's time to go to the gym. And I'm like, I can't move my body. And I'm looking at myself. And it was the trippiest thing. I can draw it for you. I'll never forget the image. And when I came back in, apparently it was 3 hours long. It was that long of an out-of-body experience. Remember, I had no clue what that is. I couldn't even process. I was non-existent. And I came back into my body. And as soon as I came in, it's like as if this podcast was running in my head. I just started hearing a voice. It wasn't a man, wasn't a woman. And it wasn't a voice like you're hearing right now. It was as if my mind or something was reading something that now was showing me things that were new. And at first I was like, this is terrifying. What the heck is this? And then you go to social media and of course your brain's going to find it. Go to my explore page. And there it was, something about, you know, conspiracies. I'm like, what is that? I've never seen this before. I'm a basketball guy. What is this? Open that up and think that was it. It was that moment that the life that I thought was real, that was all that there was and all that there is, and what I've been told and led to believe was true, was in fact far from it. And that was the start of my journey. And every day after that was a new learning experience, a now learning experience, a food, a different type of relationship. Jilly started telling me things that I never weren't ready for. And it slowly started compiling. And as it got bigger, this old life started crumbling. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole, my brand is predicated off the Phoenix. So the crashing, what you thought was real, like what we're humanity's going through. And I have the cross of the sleeping Phoenix in my human design. So it's all in me. And I never knew this. And as that world crumbled, this world grew. I came out of that old world, which took years. I came out of it better. And everything that I did physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, metaphysically, energetically, actions, lifestyles, habits, everything I was doing to get out of that and come out better is now what I share with people. Because I only share things that I experience instead of copy and paste or repeat or regurgitate. If I experience it and it works for me, that's what helped me. So that was my shift. It was an out-of-body experience in 2017, started with water, my old way of living, thought process, habits, lifestyle, relationships, network, everything. Slowly, including my father, who I lost recently. Even he was diagnosed with cancer 3 months after my awakening. I was going through an awakening while watching my father slowly leave me for 2 years from an aggressive leukemia with just a whole other story of just what the pharmaceuticals did. And at the same time, building and sharing and showing up and empowering people, losing my grandma, grandfather, and father all in 1 year when in 2020, when everything hit. Mm-hmm. All that happened, yet I showed up and I shared with people how to come out better from that. And that was my medicine of me going through those trials and errors, me crashing and burning, dusting my shoulders off, as my father would tell me, walk tall, you know, chin up, you can handle it, and showing people how to do it amongst all this stuff, which is surface level. I could sit here for 10 hours telling you every detail and you'd think, how is this guy even alive? How does this guy even process reality with that much trauma? And given the blessing of my partner, my community, people that I've never met like you, people that I've never met in the world, yes, some family and friends, but we know how the awakening goes. Things change. When I had that much support, it allowed me to keep going because I don't know where I would be. So it was the hardest thing in my life, the most shifting time in my life. And it was also who allowed me to be who I am today, sharing this with you guys. So that was the summary in a nutshell. And I'm grateful. Instead of why me, I'm glad. I'm glad it happened. Not losing my father, not that. I'm glad I went through that because I know there's a bigger role for me to help. I tell people, I'm going to be speaking in front of millions of people very soon to help those people come out better, just like I did. And that's what we're going through as a collective, I feel, all of my heart, cancel clear, all of it, not bottom, all of it, all of my heart.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that. I'm so grateful that you had that stream just now, because I was going to say it wouldn't feel complete to also speak into the seriously harsh times that all of us go through.
Artist.
Because you're so motivational and uplifting, and here's how to reframe it. And also for myself, at least, and you just spoke into this beautifully, I very similar story, watched my mom deteriorating over a number of years and losing her life to a bone marrow transplant that her body couldn't intake.
That's what happened to my dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got the chills. Oh.
Wow. Yeah, it was a blood cancer too.
Yeah, leukemia.
Look at you, astrology twins.
Wow. Yeah, I just got flooded with heat.
Yeah, it was leukemia. And they did a stem cell transplant and rounds of chemo, the whole thing, 13,000 meds. I did everything I could with the water and supplement. It was the hardest thing. So, oh my gosh, that's wild. Keep going. Yeah.
Wow. Just to watch that deterioration of someone that you love at such a close distance. I mean, I don't know what your experience is like, but I feel like this is the very beginning of a deep connection with you.
Yeah.
So 20 months after that, my dad getting into a motorcycle accident, really what I'm trying to get at is it's like allowing ourselves, for everyone listening to this conversation right now, please, beloved, know that for so many of us, it is that journey of the phoenix, allowing ourselves to be engulfed in flame, to be burnt to the ground in the most excruciating of ways. And your life is going to look different than ours, but know that pain is pain. It is not a hierarchical system, that our pain is more painful than your pain. Your deep pain of life is your deep pain of life. And that is valid. And that is also the epicenter for where that fertile soil can then come from those ashes.
Yes. Yes. That's what they say, that the best soil, the best plants grow after a fire.
Exactly. That's something that's so beautiful to acknowledge with the Australian fires that happened a couple years ago. It's like we go into this panic mode and, you know, being able to reframe it and be like, wow, you know, yeah, this is happening right now. And it sucks. But at the same time, this is something that's happening.
What is? You went from what isn't to what is. The world saw what isn't, the fires, the forest burning down. And now we're seeing what is. Look at the new forest with new life, new species, different upgrade. That's all Mother Earth has done for however long. We've just tore down, build up in ways we don't prefer because we see what isn't. And then you said it perfectly. Then how can we help people focus on what is? And a question, I have the question for the pain is, what's the benefit of my pain? It's a great question to ask yourself. What's the benefit of this pain? And it'll change your pain immediately because you went from what isn't to what the pain is, what isn't. Where there's pain, there is also love, right? Where there is fear, there's also happiness and vice versa. So if we can find this balance and not be attached to either side and find the neutral space to allow both sides to happen, we just took a lot of pain off our chest already. Maybe the pain itself was from the comparison of pain and why am I in pain and why am I not? That's painful to think about. So what is the benefit of my pain? The perfect way to encapsulate that. And this is my dad. So yeah, literally he's 66. He's crazy. He passed away at 66 and I'm turning 33. I was also in a potentially life ending car accident 3 weeks before he passed with Jilly in Oregon. It was a T, but we weren't allowed to share it for everything that happened. 60 mile an hour on the freeway. And this car turned right into us, T-bone. We hit it and we moved slightly and the car flipped 3 times. And every officer there said, you guys should not be here. You got that. No one survives that. We've seen this happen 50 times in this intersection. It was a PCH highway in Oregon. He said, we had no injury, no bone, nothing. it was the most insane experience. And then 3 weeks later, he transitions a week after Jilly's birthday. So it's the life is a movie. And I love just the way you encapsulated all that. And yeah, the pain is real and it's okay. And I love what you said too, Brittany, about the hierarchy. Your pain's not worse or less. It is. It is. It's yours. It can be yours. It's not mine. What is the benefit of it? How can I? And feel it. And just like Mother Earth is feeling it, we're feeling it. We're also going to come out better from it. So that's a perfect way to summarize all of it. You guys are fun. I love it. They're great.
So beautiful. I just have one tiny little question. I know we're at the end, but I'm like, I really love everything that has been shared thus far. And especially you being so vulnerable, open with us. And it was so beautiful to witness that. And yeah, just really feeling into the shadow integration that is part of being able to spread our light brighter. But then also I would love to ask you this question. Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing out, and correct me if I'm wrong, was that you were already together with Jilly before your spiritual awakening. Is that right?
No.
Oh,
we
no.
Were actually, I've known Jilly for 13 years.
Uh-huh.
She used to date my college teammate and I used to date her best friend in college.
Nice.
Then she became a business partner with our water business. And then she became a close friend. She was the only girlfriend I had because at the time girls wanted to date me or take me out. She just wanted to hang out. I'm like, wow, this is fun. I could talk to you about anything. You're a girl. Like it's a great. And our relationships already started happening. And then when my father got sick and I had my awakening is when she was then ready to come in and share what she had found. So that was 2017. So the year went by, 2018. And it was towards like that summer, early, like about a month before my father got sick, I was going through awakening. So she was teaching me about medicine and what is meditation, all the things, right? And then my father gets sick. And that's where life really changed. It was like Phoenix crash after Phoenix crash after. I mean, it was just crazy. I was like, at the time, why does this happen to me? And she was the only one there. There were people there for me. She was the only one there that could hold the space that I never knew existed. So every day when I cried, she would sit there rubbing my back for an hour every day. Why? What's wrong with my dad? I'm losing my dad. I'm freaking out. I can't. What am I going to do every day? And it got to a point where one day I think I had a Kundalini awakening, so you want to call it, when I was doing a heavy deadlift. I was still an athlete, 350 pounds, shot right up my spine. I saw all orange. And orange was the color of leukemia. And orange was the color of his bands, O'Brien Strong. So I saw orange right when he had gotten sick. And I touched Jilly that night, like touched her foot and tickled her. And I felt something. I was like, what is that? And there was like an energetic, like a tingle. And then I would let go. And I'm like, that's weird. And that was the first time I learned about energy from touching her. And I was like, can I give you a hug? And I held her. I felt like I was hugging my mom as a kid. I've never felt safer, protected, and loved unconditional than what she did for me. And that's where my heart started opening up again, because it was closed off for a while from just things I'd been programmed to believe in. And as that heart opened up, the tears and everything, and it just kept getting more and more. And I was like, am I allowed to say I like you? Is this, what is this weird? This is, am I allowed to have feelings for you? And we had to navigate that with obviously, you know, friends in the past. And that was it. That's where it all happened. So that was literally probably 2018. Early in the spring and then summertime. And by the fall, we were partners. And then it's been almost, 4 years since technically. And we've been able to help thousands of people from the journey we took together and with a small group. And now it's a collective group all over the world with thousands that follow us in our journey now. So that's in as fast as I could summarize it. That was the process of it all with me and Jilly. She saved my life. She really did. She saved my life and taught me about life that I never knew was there. And that's why I thank her every day with all my heart. She's amazing.
Oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. And it's just such a testament to, you know, in this world that we're living in, we can sometimes be like these feelings that we receive from, again, comparison or social media. It's like, okay, if that person doesn't align with you and it's not aligned with your beliefs, just like let them go. You're rising, spiritual awakening. Let go of these people that are not with you. It's like such a blessing that Jilly, she was, you know, spiritually awakened, but she stayed with you and she held space for you. And she allowed you to awaken that flame within you because she saw it, because she knew she probably, that might have been a soul contract between you two. She probably felt it, that that was her path to step into leadership and guide you into remembering who you truly are.
Exactly. 100%, 101%. That's it. You nailed it.
These are really fun pieces that Hannah and I often speak up in our personal lives, because it's just so fun to witness that unfoldment with partnerships that are a long time. Hannah and I have been with our husband since pretty much the same year.
Wow.
And yeah, it's been amazing. Just a lovely unfoldment. But I do want to say, I know we honor your time, and we know that you have a phone call to get that you are a bit tardy for. Again, Mercury retrograde, so we trust it.
It's all good.
But we do have three sacred questions that we ask each and every guest that has ever graced the Sacred Sister podcast platform. Okay. These can be shorter format questions, and really it's just whatever rises to the surface.
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, so question number one is, what does sacred mean to you?
Sacred is the past, present, and future all in one time. So anything that is sacred, whether it's the air you breathe, the food you eat, the workouts you do, the talks you have, the memories you have, the visions you have, all of that is sacred, because sacred itself can be a word made up by the left brain. And if you can make up a word, a sound, a vowel, a vision, a place, a thing, you have all the power to do anything you want with it. So past, present, future, all in the now moment is what's sacred, in my opinion.
All body chills.
And who is a sacred sister or a sacred brother to you? And what does it mean to have a sacred sister or brother?
Well, I mean, sacred sister, am I allowed to say Jilly? Shit, Jilly. Probably my partner, Jilly. Unconditional love, whether it's you've talked to them now or later, or it's been years, then they're always there. Someone that brings out the best in you and reflects the worst in you for you to heal it. Someone that empowers you and challenges you, someone that triggers you and helps you grow, someone that basically someone that is able to do both polarities while staying neutral within themselves to remind you, you can too. So that would be Jilly for a sister. A brother, man, me, my father, he's my best friend. Mm-hmm. And I know he's always guiding me. I would say, my life, there's a guy, Kevin Work, who I still connect with. He lives in Mexico right now. In times where I was in the lowest of my lows, he did have this space and to hold space and give me a lens that I never saw from most of my male friendships and brothers growing up. Before that would have been athletes and teammates, and who I love always unconditionally. So he would probably be him and a few others if I had a name. And then for him, like I said, just holding the space, letting me feel and cry, and same principles, being able to have both polarities without getting over imbalanced in one or the other. That's the same thing, past, present, future, being right in the middle. And both of those people helped me tremendously with that. Only last few years, and also my whole life too. Great and question.
These are always fun ones.
They're great.
And then the last is, how do you turn something normal or mundane into something magical or sacred?
Yeah. Well, like our flow just talked about, your words matter. So write out what is normal to you, and then observe the words you wrote out, and then ask yourself, how can I upgrade these words to sacred words, and then rewrite the sentence. And now it becomes the most sacred thing you've ever created. It's just having that intention. And if that is new, make it now. And normal, I feel normal has been very misled in the world we live in today. And my dad always said, Chris, if you're not weird, what'd he say? If you're normal, no one's going to pay attention to you. If you're weird, you have people's attention. It's okay to be weird. Like, be weird when everyone's normal. That's what he would tell me. So something, take normal, make it sacred, make it weird, make it something no one's done, make it something outside the box, make it yours. Because at first people will be like, what are you doing? And then they'll say, how can I do that? And that's how you take something normal to sacred, in my opinion.
Spoken like a true North Node Aquarius.
You guys are great. I love it. I learned so much from you guys too. Thank you so much.
My gosh. Yes. To each and every, sorry, Hannah. I know that you want to thank.
I just wanted to say thank you. So please continue with your whatever.
let the electrons flow.
So for each and every sacred being that is here with us now until the end of the episode, we just want to thank you so much. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your curiosity. We're so grateful for you, and Sacred Sister Podcast would not be what it is without you. I'm here shedding a tear. As I have been building tears many times in this episode, Chris, thank you so much. I feel like I'm going to reframe that. I was going to say there are no words. There are words.
There are.
And the words that I choose are, we are just so grateful to have sat with you and experienced your presence. I've been rolling sweat down my arms this entire interview.
Your water body.
Just the clammiest of clams. Honestly, this has been an exhilarating conversation. Thank you so much. I feel that it's a personal piece of medicine that I really need in my life right now to witness your divine reflection.
Beautiful.
And see how many similarities that we have. So thank you so much. We actually didn't ask you, do you have things that you are offering to your community? Where can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so you guys can follow me at Come Out Better. Right there is kind of the hub for everything. I have my website launching on my birthday. Stay tuned. I'll announce all of that on there. So Come Out Better. My Instagram is the best place to go. I have a Telegram channel. You can find that in my link in my bio. Offerings, you know, Jillian and I with Wake Water Co., we have a global community sharing living water, home-based business and things like that. So if that's something anyone is ever interested in, please send me a message. Just DM me. And that's the easiest place. Just go to that at Come Out Better on Instagram. That's my hub until my website's done. Shoot me a message. Love to get to know you and say hello. And that's where you can find all the gems and goodies, all the things at that page. That'll be a good place to start.
Perfect. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And we hope that you have a really beautiful rest of your day. Thank you for sitting with us.
Thank you guys. Much love. Thanks everybody for tuning in.
Thanks.
Bye.
Have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode today, beloved. If it resonated with you, we ask you to please share it with your sacred sisters, brothers, and beings alike. You have no idea the impact a simple share can make in someone's day, life, and growth.
And another way to show your love and support is by leaving us a rating or review on the app you're tuning into this from. And if you hang out on Instagram and your feed is in need of more uplifting and conscious spiritual content, follow us at Sacred Sister Podcast. So with that being said, we hope you have a wonderful day and we'll see you in the next episode.
Namaste, beloved. Bye.